Well, as I mentioned, we are continuing for 4 more weeks through these readings that do not appear in the normal 3-year cycle of the lectionary that is often preached from. The next 3 weeks, we will be reading from the book of Daniel. And these are stories that are probably familiar. And as I've said about many of these stories, I'm amazed they're not in the lectionary because many of them are part of our at least subconscious Christian knowledge. I also think, and I didn't plan this when I set out when we were going to do certain readings, I also suspect there might be messages for us even about an election season in the book of Daniel. The whole book of Daniel actually is about the conflict between, we would say, church and state, but even wider, faith and earthly authority. And we will see that in the next few weeks. Next week, we will read about the origin of that great phrase that we often use, to see the writing on the wall. And the following Sunday, we'll read about Daniel in the lion's den. But I think this story might be, I don't know, the best of them all. This great story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, just a reminder as well, already in the book of Daniel, these 4 Hebrews, Jews, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, have been plucked out of almost obscurity, along with a number of young men, to train them to be officials in Nebuchadnezzar's court. And already, these 4 have disobeyed the king. Initially, there's a whole royal diet that they're supposed to eat, all this presumably rich food that they're fed. And Daniel and the other 3 decide to stay with essentially their kosher Jewish dietary laws. And there's even a great moment when everyone else thinks they're just going to waste away because all they're eating is like vegetables and things. And it turns out that all 4 of them are stronger and healthier than any of the other royal officials. In chapter 2 of the book of Daniel, Daniel interprets a dream for Nebuchadnezzar. So he's already sort of making a name for himself. And it's interesting, Daniel does not occur in this story. I don't know the reason for that, but this story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is all about staying firm in your faith. Nebuchadnezzar decides, as many people who are a bit, addicted to power and their own glory, he decides to build this huge gold statue of himself, 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide, and then make sure everyone is commanded whenever they hear the flute, harp, lyre, zither, etc., etc., to fall down and worship this image of Nebuchadnezzar. Which maybe shows us that people who are powerful or desire to be powerful and their big egos is nothing new. Building a gold statue of yourself, that'd be like having a whole bunch of hotels and businesses and making sure your name was on all of them or something like that. Couldn't resist. So, gold statue. Everyone fall down and worship. And at this point, the story is almost ridiculous in its telling. You know, it goes through these lists of whenever you hear the flute, harp, lyre, zither, you know, and it keeps going through this ridiculous list of instruments and the list of all the government officials who he calls out, the satraps, prefects, etc., etc. It's almost a ridiculous story at this point. Except for the fact that Nebuchadnezzar is deadly serious about people worshiping at this statue of him. And maybe you need a certain ego to be a king or a ruler or a president. Although I am reminded that it was the truly great rare leaders in history, the George Washingtons, who are reluctant leaders and whose greatness for Washington, for example, was giving up power. First as the general of the Continental Army, and then as president, setting that two-term precedent when he could have done either for the rest of his life, and he willingly gives it up. That's a rare leader. It's not Nebuchadnezzar, who says everyone will fall down and worship. Well, except for three people. There's clearly some jealousy amongst the royal officials, and some of them come to Nebuchadnezzar and say, hey, remember these Jews that you brought into your court, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Well, not only do they worship gods other than yours, they refuse to bow down and worship at your statue. And Nebuchadnezzar calls them in and says, I will give you one last chance to bow down and worship and follow my command. And in fact, he even taunts them by saying, and what God will be able to save you from me and my fiery furnace? And we get then from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, one of the great, if not, I might argue, the greatest statement of faith in Scripture, of true faith and what it means to have faith. And they say to Nebuchadnezzar, not just we will not bow down, but what they say, the reason is, I think, particularly powerful and fascinating. They say, we believe our God, the one true God, can save us from you and from your fiery furnace. But even if God doesn't save us from the furnace, we're still not going to worship you and still going to believe in our God. Let me say that again. Even if God doesn't save us from you, Nebuchadnezzar, and your furnace, we are still going to believe in our God. In other words, our faith, our trust is unconditional, not based on what's happening to us here. It goes deeper than that. It's not unlike what Jesus says about love in the New Testament, when he tells us to love our enemies, or when he says, if you only love those who love you, what credit is that to you? No, Jesus says, love unconditionally. Don't love based on how people treat you, but love based on what I've told you. It's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are saying about their faith and their trust. It's not based on any conditions in this world, regardless of what happens. Even if we burn up in your furnace, Nebuchadnezzar, we still believe in our God, who we know will save us ultimately when it really counts. Regardless of what happens, if that diagnosis comes back positive for cancer, if that job I thought was the perfect job and I've always wanted doesn't come to pass, no matter what circumstances bring to me in this life, I will still believe in God. That's faith. And that's pretty impressive faith. Most of us are pretty conditional in the way we live our lives. You know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You treat me well, sure, I'll treat you well. When things are going good, sure, I will praise God. It's when things don't go as I had hoped that it gets tough to hold on to the faith of a God of goodness and grace and mercy and peace. It's tough when the whole world seems to be not peaceful and not good and not going the way we wanted, when certain outcomes seem almost unimaginable to us, when it seems like things were so much better at another time than they are now in our lives, in our world, in our nation, where is God? That's when it gets tough. So to say it doesn't matter how a certain election turns out, it doesn't matter what happens in my life or how frightened I may be about where things are headed, I'm going to trust that God is still here and working and in charge of things. That's faith. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say. Regardless of the outcome, we will abide by it. And so, despite what I told Barb about, she had the best part of the story. Actually, the rest of the story is almost anticlimactic after that statement of faith. Nebuchadnezzar, of course, who's not just egotistical, but thin-skinned and impulsive, not good traits in a leader, in my opinion, says, all right, that's it, into the furnace with you. In fact, we're going to heat it up 7 times hotter than usual. Throw them in there. It's so hot that the soldiers who take them to the furnace themselves burn up and die. And then Nebuchadnezzar says, wait a minute. I thought there were 3 bound men in the furnace. I see 4 unbound, walking around unharmed. And one of them looks like a son of God, a divine being. So he says, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, get out of that furnace. And they come walking out, and we're told not only are they unharmed, there's no evidence that their bodies have been even singed, their clothes are perfectly clean, crisp, ironed, and in fact, we're even told there's not even the slightest smell of smoke on them. God has indeed delivered them. And then Nebuchadnezzar, again, to put an almost ridiculous coda on the story, says, all right, from now on, we must all give credence to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In fact, anyone who disparages their God from this point on will be cut into pieces. And pay no attention to what I, Nebuchadnezzar, was saying and doing 5 minutes ago. So it is with earthly rulers. Great story. And I do think it offers a message to us, an important message, which is to put our faith and our trust in nothing and no one in this world ultimately. It really doesn't matter who's in charge, who's elected, even what happens in this world. Our ultimate trust is in God, who has promised good and who has promised to be with us every step of the way and to save us. And so in this often crazy, mixed-up world and even election season, when many people are on pins and needles about outcomes and who's going to be in charge, I invite you to take a deep breath and remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And remember that we aren't to put our trust in princes and powers and rulers and authorities in this world. Sure, it makes a difference in the short term. We want good leaders rather than bad, but ultimately, this story reminds us to put our faith, our trust, unconditionally in the one ruler and redeemer and savior who will never, ever let us down. Amen.